am here with the lovely Shelley Leatherman. And thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We start off with a salute.
Yes, salute.
Salute. She was asking me what kind of wine I was drinking. I was like, it starts with a B.
Bourbon.
Buffalo. Buffalo. For all you Buffalo Trace executives out there.
There you go.
I usually just don't give props like that, but I have to because it's the best bourbon to ever live. They had a year totally going squirrel right now.
Yeah.
They had a year wait on the bourbon run from Kentucky. Well, I'm not far from Kentucky.
You're not far.
From Kentucky.
30 minutes.
Yeah. And that bourbon run is like you have to sign up a year in advance. And I was just like, man, are you serious? And I don't want to go there if I can't get the full experience.
That would be cool.
Have you ever done it?
No.
I got a bucket list stuff going on.
Yeah.
I got to do the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Which.
I need to do that too. I haven't done that yet.
We were talking earlier about.
I've done some derbies. Not
Jeff,
that one.
Another shout out to Jeff Ruby's.
Yeah.
There's like 8 of them. But oh my gosh. What wonderful people. I mean, they made me feel right at home. Obviously, I just, sat at the bar and had a ball with everybody. Was getting ready to get up there and jam.
Yeah.
And then they said, well, I think somebody sued us a long time ago because the lady got up there intoxicated and fell off the stage and wanted to. I'm like, what?
Oh, my God.
I said, dude, I've had one drink. I said, it's okay. No big deal. I'm good. But I heard Jeff Ruby owns like 5 horses.
Really?
He's in that. So
I could see that.
Yeah. Well, it's just, Kentucky Derby. Got to do it.
Yeah.
But we're here in Nashville. We are in Music City. Was lucky enough to go to the CMAs a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And it was last second tickets, so next year I'm going to do much better on the seats.
Yeah.
But I could make out who the artists were. No, I'm joking. they were good. They were really good.
Yeah.
It's been such a whirlwind since I've just been here for the last 72 hours. Grand Ole Opry. I mean, my mom told me that I went there when I was 8 years old, totally forgot. But then when I got there, I was like, this place feels familiar.
Yeah.
Jelly Roll, Ashley McBride, Red Farron, I think is what is his name? I hope I got that right.
Brandon Lake.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just, it was like unbelievable. And we talked about this in the previous interview, just the culture, the appreciation, and the Opry was from all around.
Yeah.
The tourist, this being a tourist destination, but such an industry destination. Mm-hmm. And you have survived, you have thrived.
Have.
And you want to.
Survived and thrived.
You survived and thrived. Yeah. And people, I can promise you, the viewers, they want to know how you did it.
Yeah.
You talked about it, touched upon a couple things, but expand on that.
There's only one way to expand upon that, and that is the grace of God. I mean, honestly, amen. For real. I think at the end of the day, when I came to Nashville, it's a crazy thing. Like, I got plugged in Nashville at one of the top studios in the world, which is Dark Horse Recording, when I first came here. And that all happened before I even came to Nashville. I basically volunteered my time to do some work for a dog rescue league in West Palm Beach. They were cutting a song for the dog rescue league to use as a commercial. And they wanted someone to cut vocals, and I was able to help do that. And then they also wanted someone to film, which I work in the production world as well. Sure. And so I came in and I did, I filmed for the whole day for the rescue league. And lo and behold, the guy who owns the dog rescue league used to work at Dark Horse Recording. I had never heard of Dark Horse at that point. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. No clue. But I told him, I was like, oh, I'm moving to Nashville in 2 weeks. And he goes, oh my God, I just moved here from Nashville. And I was like, wow, that's cool. He said, yeah, call me when you get there and you get settled. Let me know how it's going for you. And I was like, okay, cool. And so I forgot to call him, but he called me. And he says, hey, I'm just checking in. Like, how's Nashville treating you and this and that? And I said, well, I went to school for audio engineering and music production. And I told him, I was like, man, everything's full band here. And unfortunately, at the engineering school that I went to, they never taught me how to mic a drum kit. Can you believe that? Yeah. And I was like, it's full bands. Like, I got to know how to mic a drum kit. And I was like, so I think I'm going to have to go back to school. And he goes, oh my gosh, let me connect you with Robin Crow, who is the owner of Dark Horse, but also owns, runs Dark Horse Institute, which is a school for production and engineering.
Oh, cool.
So okay. Yeah, super shout out to him. Love that guy. But yeah, Robin, he said, I'm going to give him your number. I'm going to have him call you. And I said, okay. So Robin calls me and he goes, well, why don't you come over and just take a tour of the studio and that sort of thing. And I went over and I pulled into this place. I did not do my research. I did not do my research at all.
Sort of like you on this podcast. No,
yeah, I was like, I just pulled up and like, and you know, I'm a busy person. So I'm like, I always keep myself busy. So for me to stop and have time to actually sit there and dig into like what Dark Horse Recording was, I didn't even take the time to do that. I didn't have time at that time. And so I pull up and I'm like, oh my God, this place is incredible. It's beautiful. It is. I go inside. I'm thinking I'm going to be there like an hour. You know, mm-hmm. I spent 8 hours that day. I was so infatuated with the studio and what he had built, mm-hmm. That I wanted to know every detail. I was like, well, how'd you do this? And how'd you do that? And I was just like, I was inquiring so intrigued. Minds, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just, I have to know. I'm a very like inquisitive, like I'm a deep person. So I'm like, I started digging like, well, how'd you create this? And like, how did you build this place? You know? And he was started telling me all the stories. I mean, basically wore a tool belt for 4 years, building a lot of it himself. And, you know, I was so inspired by that and ended up getting a scholarship to attend Dark Horse Institute. Wow. Yeah. So he calls me like a month after I met him because I continued to go there for a month straight. And I, you know, I was every day I was like, hey, you want to get together and like do dinner? And like, and I would just sit and pick his brain for hours because such a genius guy. I mean, with what he's built this at that time, this was a studio that had thrived in the Nashville area for over 25 years.
Wow.
And that's so a every big
hit,
deal.
Every hit pretty much came out of the
Taylor
studio.
Swift's first album came out of there. A lot of your Dolly Parton hits came out of there. I mean, everything you can imagine, all the way to like Korn, you know, the rock wow, band sure. Korn.
They're Christian now.
Are they really?
I think they're Christian now.
Oh, wow, that's
now.
Cool.
Yes.
But yeah, like so many.
Somebody fact check that, but I'm 90% sure. I don't know if the whole band or the yes. lead singer, somebody got saved. So
yeah.
I think I'm right that. About that. Anyway,
I think, yeah, I think the lead singer, in fact, actually, now that you mentioned that, I think I've seen some of his story being told. But yeah, like. Some of your best bands. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and then you had Nick Reskalinix there who has done everybody from Alice in Chains to Foo Fighters. I mean, you name it, Carrie Underwood, they've all recorded there, and Tim McGraw. So many big names, but just a very, very legendary place. So I spent 3 years there, you know, a lot of time, you know, just serving and giving what I could to that facility.
Sure.
And I ended up being the assistant manager of the studio and, you know, for a year. And then I went and managed their school studios for 2 years. And it was just really cool to be a part of that. So that really kind of got me into the Nashville scene on the music side and the studio side and really kind of just got my feet wet, if you will. And that really just helped me a lot and kind of let me get to know a lot of people in the industry, which really blessed me.
There's nothing better. Yeah. There's really nothing better than hands-on.
Yeah.
Learning hands-on. You can only watch so many YouTube videos to learn how to do something, which, you know, mm-hmm. when you're fixing your car or something minor, that's great.
Yeah.
But so everybody wants it now. They think this mm-hmm. is overnight. With AI, it kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
The music industry is not going to be able to stop it. They're not going to be able to stop
no,
it.
No, not
just
AI.
Like they couldn't stop the computer, and they couldn't stop internet, they couldn't stop Google. They're not going to be able to stop. Yeah. I mean, I love ChatGPT. It makes me sound so politically correct on my emails.
Simpler
and
easier.
Yeah, it's probably saved me a lot of relationships because it makes me sound look smart. No, joke. But
seriously,
in the music side, I think we had to sign, and I don't even know, as a Grammy member, I think we had to sign an affidavit.
Yeah.
When you submit, I think they still do, but when I submitted my song Losing Myself that I produced last year, not the last Grammys, 2 Grammys ago, yeah. and it was up for consideration, they made me sign an affidavit proving that AI wasn't used on any part of the song. But there's controversy there because isn't autotune a form of AI? Isn't your mastering of whether you use Ozone 11 or Ozone 2, whatever you use with isotope, you know, is every part of the digital aspect of it is technically a kind of a derivative of an AI. Yeah. So how do you answer that truthfully? Because it's just the technology. It's just like,
I mean, if you think about it, plugins really kind of are AI, really.
They are exactly, I mean, are.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
It just wasn't called AI when they came out with plugins.
Well, not right.
Yeah.
And nothing took this industry like storm.
Yeah.
More than Napster did. When Napster came out and everything was going digital and the CD was going to die and become a novelty. Mm-hmm. We adjusted. But I mean, the record companies got hammered. Mm-hmm. The artists, and you know, we were talking about the artists and what it really takes to get to that next level.
Yeah.
And it really becomes like we were talking about Kane Brown.
Yeah.
And how he really, you know, the good old boy system in Nashville, which we spoke about, you know, it is what it is. And there's a certain procedure and certain, you know, nods and blessings you have to get from certain groups. And that's fine. That's great.
It's kind of cliquish.
Very cliquish.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Yeah. They've earned that.
Yeah.
And they put out great products and they got great backing and they're good people. However, a Kane Brown, who's unbelievable talent, I think he's amazing.
So good.
He hit it so fast, so hard. Whether it was TikTok, IG, or whatever, he went viral so fast. So did Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
They went viral so fast that it was hard to for someone like him, as an example,
for them to
go through the proper process in Nashville, if you will.
And for them to gatekeep.
You said it. I mean, you know, but they adapted to it. They adjusted to it, and now they're accepting to it. I saw the man, you know, on the CMA stage. Jelly Roll's killing it. You know, Jelly Roll's from here. You know, so what a great story for the community.
Yeah.
And it, which is a great segue or transition into, you know, you said something earlier about how all this stuff at Dark Horse and everything happened while you weren't living here. Everybody wants you to live here, be here. That's how it was when I was in Orlando.
Yeah.
And you know, doing what I did down there for 20 years for the biggest theme park in the world. You had to live there. There was no way, you know, when I was young, I was like, oh, they're going to fly me down. I'm so good, whatever.
It's kind of like they don't want you in unless you have made the sacrifice to actually be here.
That's right.
And be a part of it. They're like, you know what? We're all here making the sacrifice and we're away from our families. We're away from the things that we, you know, would sometimes rather be doing to be here in this. And we've done this. And so if you're not willing to do that, then they're like, they're not really willing to give you a chance, to be honest with you.
No, you can't
blame
them.
Sometimes
you can't blame. Why are they going? It's the same argument they're making about people not going to the office anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden they have to go back to the office. Well, wait, if I have to go to the office and work, well, luckily I don't have to. My office is my studio. But but what I'm saying is if somebody else has to go to the office, why shouldn't they have to go, you know?
Yeah.
And all of that. But
which
is interesting, you know, would you take living downtown by Broadway, downtown Nashville versus Leaper's Fork or Franklin or the Brentwood or the outside, if you could, you know, afford your beautiful house, perfect house, because I got friends living in all those areas.
Yeah.
What say you?
Okay, so there's two ways I would go about that. First of all, if you're single and you're trying to just enjoy life and that sort of thing, downtown. Definitely downtown because you're in walking distance to everything. You're gonna enjoy more of just getting out and about and like being around other people. I feel like if you're family oriented and you have a family and that sort of thing, and you're settled down and you have that whole family dynamic, then I would definitely say somewhere more like Franklin or maybe even Mount Juliet or like, you know, Leaper's Fork, something like that.
That place was awesome.
I'm the kind of person that like I'd rather. You know, I'd rather be just on the outskirts of downtown where I'm like 10-20 minute drive away from downtown is kind of more my scenario. But I find myself, because I'm such a homebody, that if I live like that, I never go anywhere. So me being downtown kind of helps me get out of the house, I feel like.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And I'm going to give a shout out to this place. This is the second time I've stayed here. It's Placemaker Premier Soho.
Yeah.
And it's just... I love it in a sense that...
Sobro.
That's what I said, Sobro.
Yeah, you said Soho.
So who's in New York, isn't it?
Yeah, New York and
let me start
and,
that over.
And
Placemaker, yeah. Premiere, Sobro.
Yeah, Sobro.
I don't know where I am.
It's okay.
But you're 20 minutes from anywhere, from Bluebird. I can be in Franklin. I can be in Bluebird. Where did I go last night? Where was that songwriting?
Leaper's Fork, yeah.
Oh, what was the place called?
Oh, Fox and Lock. Yeah.
Ooh.
I know. I love Fox and Lock.
Man,
I love
Leaper's Fork people, in general. 20, 30 people waiting to get on stage just to be heard. Yeah. And the audience actually giving a crap and listening and loving it and supporting, not just family and friends and little cousin Sally. Yeah. Everybody was into it.
It's one of my favorite towns.
Artists on a different level. I mean, one girl was getting ready to go on a world tour. The other girl was her first time performing ever in front of anybody, and she was from Australia.
Wow.
And I got the names of all of them.
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to help who I can with iShowcase Music.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Will you be an official ambassador for iShowcase Music in Nashville?
Absolutely.
My girl.
I would love to help in any way I can. I'm always here to help.
We've been friends for a while.
And we've
kept the conversation going.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you have that likability and you're the real deal. And
Thank you.
I think the key word is genuine. And there's not a lot of us left.
That's so true.
Yes, I'm saying myself. I'm
That's
saying
so
I'm
true.
Genuine. There's you just are not genuine, a lot of us left.
You very much are genuine.
Oh, I am who I am, and that is enough.
Same. I am who I am, and you're not going to see me any other way.
People either love me.
I'm the same way all the time.
Hate me. When I get like part of the scene of connection, I start talking politics.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. I get online, and I just fire people up because I'm always right. Always. No joke. I am. That's Tammy. Remember I told you? Yeah. Y'all got to check out my wife's podcast, Ask Tammy, because she knows everything now.
Yeah.
I didn't think. I mean, we got tens and thousands of followers following her.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know if I want to do it anymore. I said, you got to do it. You got fans now.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went squirrel again.
I love it.
So, Nashville, I'm really, really thinking about making this a second home. I got a lot of support, and you being part of that support, so thank you.
You're welcome.
And you guys, we were talking about earlier, I don't want to, you know, talk about everything, but we got some big things planned, and the key is this. Being able to take care of bills, being able to survive, and also being able to keep your mind free enough to stay creative.
Yes.
And as, I don't know, I don't even know how old you are. I know I'm older than you.
Yeah.
Way older than you. But
I'm not
old,
I'm young.
Exactly. How young you are. Don't let the gray hair fool you. At the end of the day, it's being able to get into that space, and that was part of what this week was. It was business, it was networking, it was, you know, meeting people, shaking hands, kissing babies, having a great time, being creative, but also like a self-retreat of being able to reset. And what better place to do that than Nashville?
It's so great. I love it here. I mean, 9 years of being here, it has just, I feel at home. I don't know. There's a certain sense of peace I get here. But there's also, like, it's just this majestic feeling here in the music world that I can't even explain.
Can't emulate it.
I think it's a spiritual thing, too. Nashville is a very spiritual place, believe it or not. I mean, you got a corner, you got a church on every corner, you know, and everybody here goes to church, which you don't get that even everywhere.
Yeah.
And I love that. I'm like, I'm a God girl right here, you know. And I'm like, for me, that's important to have, not just the musical, you know, inspiration around me, but also have some good spiritual backing behind me and around me, and that's super important to me. And you really get that in Nashville. There's a great community here, and that's super important to me. And you get to have that support. Like, you come here being a creative.
Yeah.
It's so important to be in a community where people appreciate your creativity. Whereas when I am in Palm Beach, Florida, people couldn't care they couldn't care less, you know, about what I'm doing musically. Like, they're
just
like,
cool.
But
then if you go down to Miami, and that Latin scene in Miami is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, the EDM scene in Miami is fire too.
Oh my God!
Well,
that's Orlando.
The EDM scene. Orlando's got a great EDM scene.
What is it? The EDC.
Yes.
The carnival, electric dance carnival. Oh my goodness! Yeah. Every year it gets insane.
Yeah. So I do all the voiceovers and stuff for, you know, for UMF Radio, which is Ultra Music Festival.
Their
radio station.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. So, so I've been heavily involved in the EDM world for a while. I do make a lot of EDM music, but I use like real instrumentation. So. That's very important to me. I love that kind of thing. And that's, you know, Florida's got a great scene for that. We don't have a very big EDM scene here in Nashville. That's one thing I will say is lacking. I'd like to build upon that, but it's a great place to be. It's a great place to live.
Country, yeah. rock, pop. Yeah.
Reggae.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say reggae has fed me since I've lived in Nashville. My biggest clientele base in the studio as an engineer recording bands and artists has been reggae music. And no one would ever look at Nashville and think that. It has put food on my table for years. Yeah.
That's right. You said you did an interview with the Wailers.
Yeah, I recorded an album with the Wailers, you know, which was Bob Marley's band and, you know, Morgan Heritage Band. I've worked a lot with them and Gramps Morgan, who is a phenomenal, phenomenal songwriter, producer, you know, and, you know, he has the Morgan Heritage Band heritage, which is just incredible. He's a great performer, great singer, great songwriter, great producer. He's great at leading, you know, on the production side of things, and I love working with him. And he's brought a lot of clientele to me, you know, like Allie Brooke from Fifth Harmony, came through him. You know, just some phenomenal artists. Amy Grant, you know, which I was able to record through him.
I'm a big fan.
Huge fan of Gramps and huge fan of Amy. You know, I grew up teaching myself how to singing Amy Grant's songs, and especially the song Baby Baby. When I was a kid, that was like a huge hit.
I forgot what song I used to play on the piano of hers.
Yeah.
It was pretty phenomenal. But I forgot the name of the song, and I'm ashamed of myself. But, you know, and it's funny because I go on Broadway, and I look at these people, these good musicians.
I bet it was El Shaddai.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Now that you're 80, that was the 80s, 90s, yeah. Early 90s. Yeah, El Shaddai.
That was a huge song.
I used to jam that song on the piano. Yeah. That was a great song. I go on Broadway and I look at these, you know, I look at these musicians. Mm-hmm. Some very good, some exceptional, some not so good, whatever. Yeah. Hank Williams. I'll hang out at Hank Williams Jr.'s place. They always have a great, great band. And, you know, you start seeing the untrained wearing, just ripping their voice. I'm like, you're going to get nodes, man, if you don't get properly trained.
Yeah.
But is it really true that 90% of them are playing for tips only?
They are playing for tips only. That's why I refuse to do the whole Broadway thing. I mean, I've done it, you know, for like, you know, for CMA Fest and, you know, different festivals, things like that.
You're not looking down upon it, but it's just...
No, I'm not looking down upon it, but I feel like it's a thing that I feel like that's not showing the respect that artists and bands deserve, and they need to get paid. They need to feel that they are of value and that they are worthy of getting paid, because they are. Most of them out there have been working their whole lives for this and worked their tails off to be where they're at vocally or musicianship wise. And that's a very important thing. Like, why are these bands or these bars not paying them? Or they might pay them like $100 a head.
Well, why hasn't there been legislation put in place? Like Florida.
Thank you.
Florida entertainers have to be paid.
Yeah.
Within 7 days.
Yep.
And it used to not be like that because certain parties would hold it. You can't survive as a musician.
You cannot survive.
How are these? And you know what it is. I can answer it. It's supply and demand.
Yeah.
So there's so, like I told you, there's
so
30
many people here doing
guitar,
it.
Guitar, songwriter, and players in line just to be heard. Yeah. So there's such a surplus of people willing to do it for free.
And those people need to recognize their own value and worth and not work for free. Because you are setting the standard for what comes behind you, or what, you know, you're setting the standard for everyone around you. And it's like, it frustrates me. Even in the studio, I see managers pushing producers, you know, producers that they manage. I see them, pushing producers to cut songs and produce songs for like $1,200 a song, which is, you know, that's a lot of money still, but you know, when
work for hire,
but
plus,
someone
plus
that's
3%?
Already at the point,
plus their producer credit, okay,
yeah, and then, but you know, also being at the point where some of these producers are definitely worth way more than that. They've already had major hit records. They've already done really incredible things, and these producers are like, no, you need to work for less. And I'm like, no. Their managers are saying that you need to work for less, and I'm like, who are you? Like, you're just the manager. For you to come in and say, he's the one doing all the work, or she's the one doing all the work. Like, they need to be paid their worth and their value. And if you've already had those hit records and you've already had some success of working with bigger artists. You have
the discography.
Yeah, you have the knowledge and the willpower and the discography to go along with it. That's huge.
It's the same in DJ world. I mean, in DJ world for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked hard and I've earned. First of all, if you're a pain in the ass, I will not do your event. I will not DJ your wedding. I don't even do weddings anymore. If I do 3-4 weddings a year.
Yeah.
Not that I'm not willing to. Yeah. It's just I've hit the ceiling with that.
Yeah.
But my price is my price. And if you don't find the value in me, then I am not the one for you.
Exactly.
I am perfectly fine.
You got to be able to walk away.
You know what it's called? I'm going to look into the camera on this one. You ready? Yeah. It's called the power of no. Once you learn the power of no, and you do respect your own value and what your self-worth is,
you have
so many things open up, because it breaks my heart, because what I get from these musicians there on Broadway is they want it so bad, and they're working so hard, and they're just wishing and praying that one person's going to come in, that one executive from Music Row is going to hear them. But
they're not valuing themselves. No. They're not valuing themselves. No. You have to see your own value. You have to have your own self-worth. And if you don't have that, that's gonna bleed into every area of your life.
That's
your finances especially. But it's going to bleed into every area of your life. So you got to stand up for yourself and have some self-worth. You know, have self-worth, self-respect, and put your foot down. Set some boundaries and set a higher standard for yourself financially.
I think we just wrote a song.
Yes. What should we call it?
It doesn't rhyme.
I'm good at rhyming.
There are no rhymes to it. I can drop a beat.
Yeah.